Years now that you and I have been fellowshipping in the Lord. I've enjoyed, more than preaching to you, I've enjoyed your fellowship and your friendship. I appreciate all of you who have drove so far to worship, to seek the Lord, and it's been a good place to be. There's no way that you could improve on what we just heard. Thank you, ladies, for the good food. The best cooks next to the ladies we got up on. And I know. I'm not as dumb as I look. Galatians chapter 5, I want to comment here just a few minutes on some of these verses. In verse 14, he tells us, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now I could probably come here this morning, and having gleaned from some of the commentators, and could probably give you a discourse on this, that I could leave here feeling somewhat proud of myself, but you'd leave here wondering what in the world was that man talking about. I want to look at this morning in the most practical way that you and I can look at it. And I hope the Lord will teach us something this morning practical that we can take home with us and help us in the days ahead. The Apostle Paul has been speaking in this epistle throughout the whole epistle from chapter 1, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. He suffered for our sins according to the will of God. That's the way he began this epistle. And he continually tells us about the death of Christ on our behalf, and our faith in Him to justify us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, he tells us. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And throughout this epistle, he sometimes just begins to hint at Christ's work in us, the Spirit's work in us, the Spirit of God indwelling us. He says there in the third chapter in verse 14 that since Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the promise that God made to Abraham might come on the Gentiles. And this is the promise, that we might receive the Spirit by faith. And then he says God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Father, Father. In another place, he tells us in chapter 3, you receive the Spirit not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. So I want to look just a little bit this morning about the Spirit. Paul makes mention of Him here in this chapter so much. He says there in verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And he says over there in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, if we're alive in the Spirit, if we have life by the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. You and I are in a spiritual realm. We must be in a spiritual realm. Amen. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You'll never make anything else out of it. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wills. It blows where it wishes to blow. And you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. We're in a spiritual realm. We're in a spiritual kingdom. Being born again, Peter tells us, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. Just let the Lord withhold the rain a few more days. And you go out and walk on the grass, and you can see the nature of the grass. It starts breaking under your feet and turning brown. That's the way flesh is. That's the way the glory of our flesh is. We're born and we flourish, and then we're gone. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word you're born of. If you're born of this Word, you'll never pass away. And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. Born of the Spirit, born of the Word, of His own will begot to us with the Word of truth. We're in a spiritual kingdom. A spiritual kingdom. We must be taught of the Spirit. We must be born of the Spirit. We must be taught of the Spirit. Turn over here just to your left with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is telling us of this very thing. In chapter 2, and look in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. As it is written, I hath not seen, the natural eye hath never seen, the natural ear has never heard, it's never entered into the natural heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. The Spirit in us searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. I was telling folks up home about an old dog I have. He's my neighbor's dog. And she's got in the habit of staying over at my house. She comes by every morning for breakfast. She'll come by and stand outside the door until I give her a piece of bread or something. Labrador Retriever. Huge black Labrador Retriever. And she's found out where my office is. My office is out in the garage, in the back of the garage. And she comes out now to the garage. If she can find a ball, she'll stand there with a ball in her mouth. And she'll lay it down and she'll start whining, wanting me to come out and play with her. Sometimes I do, sometimes I can't. But it's like a little grandbaby standing there. Poppy, come out and play. Come out and play. And I was a little bit in an aggravated mood the other morning anyway. And she just stood there and she wouldn't go home. And I thought within myself, you sorry stinking mutt. Go home to your master. And I thought, boy, if she knew what I just thought about her. But she don't know. You know why she don't know? She don't have my spirit. If I had some way to take my spirit and put it in that dog, she'd know what I was thinking. She'd know my mind. Well, that's what Paul is telling us here. How can we know the things of God? He's eternally different than you and I. He's God and we're a creature. Oh, you know how He teaches us of the things of God? He gives us His Spirit. Ain't that what Paul's teaching us here? Look in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world don't know God, but we received the Spirit which is of God. For this reason, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. But when He gives us His Spirit, how does He teach us? How does He show us these things? Does He just come to us and we stand there with our mouth gape wide open and say, "Oh, I can't explain this. It's just too wonderful." It's not like that at all. Oh, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can't explain what Greg just preached. But he did. Huh? Didn't the Lord open your heart? Didn't He open your understanding as Greg was preaching? And it wasn't some emotional enthusiasm. No, it went to your heart. The words. Ain't that what He said? Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. A man stands before us and he takes this text, and what does he do? He begins to comment on these words. He explains words. He explains phrases to us. And we get the sense of it. Why do we understand? God teaches us by His Spirit. Those poor foolish apostles and disciples were on the road to Emmaus and they were so sad until He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. The Lord opened Lydia's heart and she attained to the words which were spoken by Paul. This is the way the Spirit teaches us. He teaches us from the Bible.
Amen.
From the Word of God. We must be taught of the Spirit. We must pray in the Spirit. We're in a spiritual realm, aren't we? We're alive in the Spirit. We're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. What is our infirmity? Well, one thing, we don't know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. You've been there, haven't you? You've experienced this. We all have. But here comes the Holy Spirit. And He gets in us. And He upholds us in the way of prayer. And He enables us to pour out our souls, to talk with our Father, to approach and realize the access and the freedom we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever gone to prayer? And at first you had nothing to say. And you were so weak and cold. And you felt awful about it all. But then the Holy Spirit, secretly, oh, He begins to energize your heart and warm your soul and open it up. I tell you, I have found more strength in prayer. And I have been taught more experimentally in prayer than I have in all of my days of reading even the Bible. There have been times when I've been able to say in my soul, "Father, Father." And that meant more to me than all the sermons I'd heard in a month's time. Who enables us to pray? The Spirit. You remember David sometimes as you read the Psalms, and he'll begin the Psalms and he's so down. And he's crying to the Lord. But before the Psalm is finished, he's delivered. And he's up and he's full of joy. "I waited patiently for the Lord. I cried to Him," he said. "I was in this horrible pit, and I cried unto the Lord. And He brought me up out of that pit, and established my goings, and set my feet upon a rock, and put a song in my..." All of that in prayer, as he went to prayer. Praying in the Spirit. Well, we must worship in the Spirit. "The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he said, "I'm the minister of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, preaching the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Worshiping in the Spirit of God. Well, We must have the Spirit before we can love. All the law is fulfilled in this one word. Somebody said, law is my rule of life. Okay then, that's fine. But all the law is fulfilled in this one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. But I tell you this much, nobody ever loved apart from the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's not a fruit of the flesh. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love is not some sentimental emotion. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Epaphras, Paul said, declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Your love for God. Your love for Christ and His gospel and His people and the things of God. If a man love me, he'll keep my word. There's no sense of us getting frustrated and frustrated with people who don't love the Lord. I've been there. I know where they're at. They don't love His presence. They don't love His word. They don't love His worship. They don't love His people. Don't get mad at them. I've been there, haven't you? I know right where they're at. And the whole problem is this. They don't have the Spirit of Christ. And you cannot love apart from having the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God. And if you're born of the Spirit, you're born of love. Listen to this passage. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God. That's why he loves, because he's born of God. And he knows God, for God is love. You and I are in a spiritual kingdom, aren't we? We've been born into a spiritual kingdom. We've been made new creatures in Christ. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We've experienced a new birth. There's a new creature within us that never existed before. A new man. An inner man. And this new man lives in the Spirit, and he's told here to walk in the Spirit. Because there's no other way that he can overcome this world. There's no other way that he can overcome the devil and flesh except as he walks in the Spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If that was the case, I'd go to the weight room more often. But that's not the case. I tell you one thing. We've got much more stronger enemies than flesh. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. How are we going to overcome such power? Listen to what Paul tells us. He said, I pray for you that God would grant you to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Now think about that just for a minute. God would grant you to be strengthened by might, by His might, by His Spirit in the inner man. That's the only way we can overcome. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depths and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And listen to this, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We're in a spiritual kingdom. The problem these Galatians were having is this. They had begun in the Spirit. They had been born of the Spirit. They were alive in the Spirit. But their whole problem was this. They were trying to perfect the flesh. having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's the whole problem. And the way they were trying to do this was submit themselves to outward ceremonies and rites. Circumcision. They wanted to be circumcised. And you know one of the reasons they wanted to be circumcised? Because it hurt. They wanted to suffer in the body. They wanted to submit themselves to feast days and Sabbath days. They wanted to abstain from certain meats and drinks. It's all about abstinence, suffering. Suffering in this flesh. And they thought by doing these things that they could perfect their flesh. And now Paul writes into them and says, no, no. The flesh cannot be perfected. God has not saved the flesh. The flesh is what it's always been. It's full of passion. It's full of lust. It's vile. It's sinful. The flesh lusteth. It wars against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. And what he's telling them here, instead of you realizing your flesh is reaching the state of perfection, what you're going to realize is this. The older you get, and the farther you get in the Christian life, what you're going to realize, your flesh is much, much alive. And you're going to spend your time just trying to keep him under subjection and to keep him from having his way with you. And the only way you're going to be able to keep him conquered and to keep him beat back and beat down is to walk in the grace and the strength of the Spirit of Christ, which is in you. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And when Paul says your flesh, he's not speaking of the members of the body so much, but he's speaking of this nature, the old nature, the old man that seeks an outlet through these members. I told him at church the other day, I said, I wish that my whole problem that I had was with this hand. I'd go to the nursery room and say, I'm here to have my hand amputated. I'm going to get rid of all my troubles. I'm having trouble with this left eye and I want you to go ahead and pluck it out. Don't give it to anybody else. Please don't give it to anybody else. And I'd go home so happy, one-handed, one-eyed, but boy, I'd be happy because my trouble would be over with. But that's not our problem, brothers and sisters. Our problem is this old nature. We are born with it. And we're going to live with it. And we're going to die. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When I would do good, evil is present with me. And I never get any relief from this. And the only way that you're going to conquer him to the least, into any degree, and to keep him beat down, is to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Ever read old Martin Luther? He talked about when he was a monk. They used to build their monasteries. They never built them in town. Very, very often you found a monastery in the city. They built them back on the mountains and in the wilderness because they thought society was corrupting. And if you hung around society and you was a holy man, it'd rub off on you and you'd be corrupt. So they built their synagogue, their monasteries out in the desert. And they would go out there, and Luther, if you read any of his work, he talked about going out to those monasteries, and on a cold night, he sometimes stripped himself naked and laid on those cold brick, trying to eradicate the sin that was in his body. He sharpened sticks and cut himself with them. Fasted himself half to death, trying to eradicate the sin that's in this flesh that he failed. I was reading the account of Jerome. He was one of these monks that lived out in one of these monasteries. And here's his confession. Listen to this. He said, how often have I thought myself to be in the midst of the vain delights and pleasures of Rome, even when I was in the wild wilderness. And I who for fear of hell had condemned myself to such a prison, thought myself oft times to be dancing among young women when I had no more company than scorpions and wild beasts. My face was pale with fasting, but my mind was inflamed with desire in my body. And although my flesh was half starved to death by fasting, yet the flames of fleshly lust boiled within me. I tell you, the passions of this flesh cannot be eradicated by such means. And the more you try to eradicate this flesh and the sin that's in it, the worse it's going to boil. Put us in a cave with a loaf of bread and a bottle of water, and I'll tell you what we'll be doing. Lusting and lusting and lusting. That's what we're made up of. Sin. We're ruined. The remedy for our misery cannot be remedied in this world. We'll die, saying, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What's a believer to do then? Well, he gives us this. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He didn't say the flesh wouldn't lust. He said you won't have a vent for it through these members. Yield to His influences. Obey His teaching from His Word. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And realize this. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Do you and I think about that? Do we realize that? Do you realize this morning, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in a scriptural sense, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He influences you, but He's not just an influence. He's a divine person. And He dwells in you to guide you and to encourage you and to strengthen you and to give you grace to war against this old man. Amen. He's in you. He's in you. I was thinking the other day, maybe you have some problems with this like I do, but I thought on something too long. And all of a sudden I sort of came to myself and I thought, what am I thinking about? And I thought, boy, if the Lord was here staring me in the face, He'd know what I'd just been thinking about. And then I thought, He is here. He's in me. I will dwell in them. I'll walk in them. Christ said, we'll set up our abode. He is in us. And I tell you, when you and I live in awareness that we're indwelled by this divine person, this third person of the sacred Trinity, Christ in us by His Spirit, that'll encourage us so much. You and I would meditate here upon verse 17 in our text, Galatians chapter 5. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. He wars against the Spirit. The Spirit wars against the flesh. And these are contrary. They're opposed one to another. If you and I would just meditate and think about this just a little bit, wouldn't this give us a renewed appreciation for the love and the patience of the Holy Spirit? You know, we don't hear much about the love of the Spirit, do we? He just don't testify of Himself. But He loves us. He loves us. And He's so patient with us. He is to us as the person of Christ was to His apostles when He walked with them and talked with them. What an ignorant bunch of people Christ's apostles was when He was here with them. You know, if it was left up to the Lord's apostles when He was here with them, the work of Christ would have been an awful, awful failure.
It would have.
If Peter said, it's up to you now. I've given you this authority. Now you use it. You use your own discretion. Yeah, do you know what they'd have did? They probably wouldn't have been a city of Samaria left. You want us to call down fire from heaven? They'd have shamed the Lord. One day they were out preaching. They ran upon this other preacher. He loved the Lord, was preaching in the name of Christ and casting out devils. John said, you need to come with us. And he said, no, there's another place over here I want to go preach Christ there. Well, you shut up then. Don't want to hear you preaching anymore. You just shut your mouth. That's what they said to him. And they come back and brag to the Lord about it. But we shut him up. But you know something? He never gave up on those fellows. You know what the Scripture says? Having loved His own, which were in this world, He loved them until the end. And you know something? The Spirit of God comes into our hearts. The Spirit of Christ comes into our hearts. And He knows full well what He's going to be up against. He comes here to set up His throne, and He's going to do battle with this miserable flesh all the days of our life. And yet He so lovingly abides. He so patiently and faithfully abides. He rebukes when He has to. He reproves when He has to. But He never leaves us and never forsakes us. And He opens our hearts that we may rejoice in Christ and His goodness. All the Spirit, He dwells in your hearts. Verse 18. Look at this. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And Paul is saying here, even though we feel the workings of sin within our flesh, and though it's so contrary to the Spirit of holiness, but he's saying here, if you're unable to fight against it, and you don't let this old flesh have his vent, and you don't walk after that old flesh, then you can know this, that you're not under the law. And for Christ's sake, this remnant of sin that you feel working in you is not imputed to you. There's no condemnation to you. Now that's amazing, isn't it? Sometimes we get so discouraged about this. We feel the working of sin in us. We know how contrary it is to the Lord. But then He comes right along and tells us, there's no condemnation to you. You're in Christ. Sure you have sin. It's not imputed to you. This is the promise of the covenant. This is a covenant blessing. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness.
Amen.
Now why does he say that? Why don't he just forgive it? It ain't something you can forgive. It's something somebody's got to bear with and not impute to us. It ain't sins you can lay aside. It's something you've got to obtain mercy for. And that's the covenant blessing. I'll be merciful to that unrighteousness. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And if you be led of the Spirit, Paul said, you can live in the assurance that you're not under the law, but you're under grace. What does these Scriptures teach us as we just look at them in general? Well, it teaches us this. The utter impossibility of being saved apart from a new birth. Apart from the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You and I are born into this world, and by nature, we're so sinful. We're born with sinful nature. And that'll never change. I don't care what you do, you cannot change your nature. You'll live with it and you'll die with it. And until you and I are given a new nature, we cannot know the Lord. We cannot love Him. We cannot reverence Him. We cannot worship Him or serve Him. Nothing short of being born of the Spirit will save us. The work of Christ within us is just as essential as the work of Christ for us.
Amen.
we must be born of again. We must be lifted up from this natural realm that we're in. Christ said those who are in the flesh, those who are still in their nature, cannot please God. If a man's trusting in his flesh, and he's living after the flesh, and warring after the flesh, he is not of Christ. But you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. Your confidence is not in the flesh. You don't live your life warring after the flesh, but you rejoice in Christ Jesus. You're looking unto Jesus with spiritual eyes. You live by faith upon the Son of God. You cleave to Him with purpose of heart to be saved by Him. You're waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. Therefore, Paul says, this being so, you're not under the law. Oh, the flesh is bound by this old law of sin. But in the spirit of your mind, you're free. You're free. And there's no condemnation to you. And you can live your life rejoicing in Christ, and when this sorry life is over, when this warfare is ended, you can go home to be with Christ and rest from your labor. Who could ask for anything better than that? All we're doing is waiting. Waiting. Sure, we're in a battle. Sure, we're in a warfare, but we got help, haven't we? If you be led of the Spirit. I got two verses of Scripture I want you to turn to right quick, and I'll close. If you be led of the Spirit, look over in Exodus. If you be led of the Spirit, look at Exodus chapter 15. What does this teach us, to be led of the Spirit? Well, isn't it a mercy? If you consider this evening that you're a poor sinner, isn't that a mercy to know that? You say, Bruce, everybody's a poor sinner. I know that, but nobody hardly knows it. Isn't it a mercy to know that you're a poor sinner? Isn't it a mercy to know the way that God saves poor sinners? Here you were just going along, dead in trespasses and sin, as ignorant as you could be. And the Lord opened your understanding and made you to know you're a poor sinner in need of a mighty Savior. And He led you to Christ. David said He leads us in the paths of righteousness. What's He talking about? Well, I tell you, He led us to Christ and showed us that Christ is our righteousness. You were like me. You lived your whole life trying to establish your own righteousness for God to save you. Did you not do that? You never heard of the righteousness of Christ. You never understood anything about you must be saved through the righteousness of someone else. But here you sit this morning, and you're trusting in the righteousness of Christ. Who led you there? The Spirit, didn't He? And He leads us in the paths of righteousness. I never thought I'd see the day. I thought it was impossible for me to sit in a service and be happy hearing the Word of God. And following the most miserable time in my life is when I had to spend an hour and a half on Sunday morning sitting and listening to some men read the Bible and hearing the congregation saying, "Oh, get me out of here, I'm bored to death." I never dreamed that I could delight myself in the Lord and in His ways. Didn't you feel that way? But you do. Look how poor some of you drove. Sitting here in this hot building. And it's getting hot, ain't it? But you're willing I could go on for another, 45 minutes? Why would you drive this way? And why would you sit here? You delight in the Lord. You delight in the... Ain't that a mercy? That's a mercy. Well, he says here in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 13, look at this. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Mercy. Oh, for the Spirit to be willing to condescend and James take you by the hand of your heart and lead you. That's mercy. Look at another place. Look at Isaiah chapter 42. I'll close with this one. Isaiah 42. He just don't lead us and bring us to Christ. I tell you, the Spirit of God, if He left us for a second, we'd be so lost. I know we'll forget Brother Mahan one time. He said, you know, if the Lord brought us within 10 feet of heaven, and He said, I'm going to let you find the rest of the way by yourself. Henry said, we'd get lost before we got there. That's how stupid we are. That's how blind we are. How ignorant we are. Well, look here in verse 16 of Isaiah chapter 42:16. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. Was grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. God bless His Word.